Welcome. I'm Jamie, the pastor of Anchor Bible Church in Lincoln City. Today we're going to look at Jesus Christ, who he is, Christology number two, the second part of Christology. And it's good to be thinking about that Christology means the words about Christ. Words about Christ. And where do we find those words about Christ? We find them in the words of Christ, of Jesus Christ, the Holy Bible, his words. Words that he says about himself, actually. Sometimes we think, well, the words of Christ are in red. Well, they may be, but all the words of God, of the Bible, are words from Christ himself, because he's God. And so we're going to look at some things that he says about himself. Some of these verses may overlap in these studies, but this one is going to be that he's eternal. He's eternal. And we've looked at before, but Isaiah 9:6 says that he is the everlasting Father. The everlasting Father. So you should have a PDF handout attached with this message. But it's talking that he's the everlasting Father. It is a title. It doesn't mean that he's God the Father, the first person of the Trinity, but he holds the title of everlastingness. He's in charge of that which is eternal. Micah 5:2 is familiar more with Christmas time, because Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And the prophecy that Micah has, the prophet Micah, in 5:2 says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That's what the Bible is telling us, that the little baby born in Bethlehem is from of old. Well, how old? From everlasting. You see, it's God was manifest in the flesh. God is everlasting. God is eternal. Yet he became a little baby for us who grew up to be a man who went to the cross of Christ. So he's from everlasting. John 1:1-2 talks about that the Word was God. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." We know that that's Jesus Christ. John uses that in his gospel, epistles, and the revelation as well. And the Word was, let's start that again. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The same was in the beginning with God. So here that we see that the Word was with God. So now we're looking at the Trinity. It says the Word was God. So he is God. He's the second person of the Trinity called the Word. The first or third persons of the Trinity are not called the Word. They're called the Father and the Spirit. But the Word is Jesus Christ. And here it says that you could almost substitute, and Jesus Christ was God. See, the Word was God. So he's eternal. If he's God, then he's eternal. John 8:58-59 is neat, because we know that in the Old Testament that the Lord appeared unto Moses at the burning bush, and he said, "The I am. I am the I am. I am that I am." And so that title is for Jehovah, for God. And all the Jews know that, and they knew that at the time of Christ. So Jesus says to the people upon when he was upon this earth, Jesus saith unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." So he's saying before Abraham even existed, he uses the present tense. He didn't say I was, but I am. And so Christ existed prior to Abraham, which means Christ is God. Well, how could he be God? How could he be in the flesh, a human standing upon this earth? Well, because he's God in the flesh. He always existed, but he took on the human form. And so, well, the Jews knew that. He said, before Abraham was, I am. So then they took up stones to cast at him. So they wanted to throw rocks at him. Why? Because they thought it was blasphemy. They were thinking, you can't call yourself God. Only God can call himself God. Well, Jesus is God. He was God, and he called himself God, and that's not blasphemy. That's just a true declaration of truth, something that is true and real, something that's in reality. Well, we see also that not only is Jesus Christ eternal, but the words about Christ say that he is immutable, which means unchangeable, that he cannot change. His true nature and characteristics are always the same. Psalm 102:25-27 says, "Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth," that's creation, when he created the earth, "and the heavens are the work of thy hands." Just like it says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So it says, you did that a long time ago. "They shall perish." Notice this, the heavens and the earth are going to perish. And we see at the end of the Bible in Revelation, end of Revelation, that God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Well, that means we're right now on the old earth. So he's going to make new ones. It says, "They shall perish, but thou shalt endure." Even though the heaven and the earth, which we see as strong and stable and solid and a great foundation, they don't change, but yet he's saying that they will change because they'll perish, but God will endure. Even though those things in creation, these created things, have an end, God will keep on going on because he's God, because he doesn't change. "All of them wax old like a garment." They grow old like a garment. Your clothes get old, they wear out, and you make rags out of them, and then they just, they're no good for anything, and then they ultimately rot and they decay. "As a vesture, as clothes, shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed." So here in Psalms, he's comparing the heaven and earth to clothes. Just like you change your clothes, it takes a few minutes, and then you have new clothes on. Well, the Lord is going to make a new heaven and earth, and a new earth, and he's going to change them, and then there will be a new one. The old ones will be gone. "But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." God is the same. Even though we change the heavens and the earth, well, God is the same, and he doesn't change. Very important. So God is immutable. He is unchangeable. Our next passage is in Hebrews 1, 10 and 12. But I'm going to go back and read 8 through 12 because it talks about Jesus Christ the Son. Hebrews is talking about that that Christ is better than the things that came prior to him in the old covenant, the Mosaic law. So Hebrews 1:8 says, "But unto the Son Jesus Christ," these are words about Christ, "thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." So here it's saying that Christ is a king and that he's going to rule and reign. But notice this, "unto the Son," God the Father says, "thy throne, O God." So God the Father is calling God the Son God because he is. And then verse 9 says, "Thou hast loved righteousness," we have a righteous God, "and hated iniquity," because he's holy. "Therefore, God, even thy God," wow, this is almost mind-blowing. This is a great deity verse. This is Hebrews 1:9. God the Father calling God the Son, God. "Therefore, God the Son, even thy God," God the Father, "hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows," because of who he is, and his righteousness and his holiness. So all three persons of the Trinity are God, and they can call each other God, and they're the same as far as in their attributes, their characteristics, but yet they're different in their persons, it says. But then verse 10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest the same. Thou remainest, and they shall wax old," or grow old as does a garment. "And as a vesture," this is verse 12, Hebrews 1:12, "thou shalt fold them up," looks like you fold your clothes up when you change your clothes, "and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And so we understand here from Hebrews and also from Psalms that God doesn't change. He keeps on going. His years have no end, even though the years of the earth, and that's really how we measure the years is through the earth and the sun and the heavens, if you will. God doesn't change. So these things are spoken of God the Son. What a marvelous thing happened here, what Paul had written down for us. So also we see in Malachi 3:6 that the Son does not change. Christ does not change. God does not change. Here it just says, "For I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." So God does not change. The Lord, that's Jehovah, he does not change. And then in the in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, says Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So here we see past, present, and future. Yesterday, he was who he was. Today, he's who he is. And then forever, tomorrow, he's the same. He's always the same. You could say he's always eternal. He's always all-knowing. He's always love. He's always holy. These great attributes, these great characteristics, they're always the same. Well, he's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. Christ is, and these are the great, all-knowing, all-powerful, present everywhere, the great three things that make God God, and nobody else is these things. If you are these things, then you are God, and if you're not these things, you're not God. So, and we are not God. We're not all-knowing. Here it's all-powerful, actually. And just some verses that talk about Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:25, "For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." See, all the enemies that he has, they're all going to fail. So Jesus Christ is powerful over all his enemies. He's all powerful. He has victory over all enemies. That includes Satan. That includes all non-believers, obviously. But he's able to conquer all. Philippians 3:21 tells us, "Who shall change," this is about Christ, "who shall change our vile body," our humble body, our body that is perishing, "that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." This is for believers, those trusting in him. We'll get a glorified body like he has a glorified body, "according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." He's able to conquer and subdue death and decay and non-life. And so he's able to fashion them in life and in glory, in a resurrection. And so he's able to do that. And there's a promise for those trusting in Christ. He'll give us a glorious resurrection like his. Praise God for that. Revelation 1:7-8 tell us, "Behold, he cometh with clouds," again about Christ, "and every eye shall see him." So when he comes at the second coming, everyone on earth, everyone will see him. That's what it means. Every eye shall see him. "And they also which pierced him," referencing the Jews here. When Christ comes back at the second coming, everyone will see him, and even and particularly Israel, the Jewish people upon the earth at that time. "And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Here's a sad thing, looking at the other nations of the earth. They'll wail, though they won't want to receive Jesus Christ when he comes back. And then it says, "Even so, amen." In other words, Christ is presenting himself as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the ruler, the Savior, the great shepherd, the one who has given his life for all. If you trust him as your Savior, praise the Lord. And if not, even so, he is still God. He is still King. He is still provided salvation for everyone, whether they receive it or not. Amen. That's the way it is. Even so, amen. Let it be. Then he says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." So he's all powerful. He's all powerful. He's always been around. He is around, and he's and he's the same which is to come. So just like we looked at before, here we see that Christ is all powerful. So he's going to come back and rule and reign on this earth. And then also, who then can be saved, I guess? Well, with this, all things are possible. All things are possible. Jesus said, their question actually was here in Matthew 19:26. Just prior to that, they're saying, you know, if it's tough, if it's, the Lord gives an analogy. He says it's easier for a rich man to get saved than for a camel to go through an eye of a needle. And he says, well, who can be saved then? And it's like, it's impossible for anybody to get to heaven. Who then can be saved? We cannot save ourselves. We cannot earn our salvation. Well, in Matthew 19:26 tells us, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Who can be saved? With men, it's impossible. You cannot save yourself. We cannot save one another. But salvation is of the Lord. With the Lord, it is possible. With God, all things are possible. It's possible for anyone to get saved. God had devised salvation's plan. God is the one who thought it out. God is the one who, by his grace, brought it down to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, who can be saved? It's possible for anyone to get saved. Thanks for listening.